Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I hope you like that new bumper music for our show. Jess Romero's out in Ohio. Guess what he's talking on? The four last things. What else does Jesse talk about when he does missions? I want to welcome you, and I want to welcome the YouTube people back to our station. I also want to recommend that if you missed some of our shows because you are watching it on YouTube, go over to Rumble. Lockout episodes are on Rumble, and that's just how it is in life. So I want you to know that. Today's topics are going to be powerful for Lent. We have the 10 powerful saint quotes to ignite your Lenten journey to holiness, which is going to be fantastic. Also, mentioning the four last things, can you believe this, everybody? There's a big article about bodies frozen to wake up in the future, from baseball players to Bitcoin developers. This has been going on already for 5,000 years. Even in the ancient times, someone would die and they'd put him in an ice box and say, "Hey, Mac, we'll figure it out later." The point of it is I think they're denying the reality of death. So we'll talk about that. Also, Jesse's got some really big news. I say good news, because it's time that we have a response to the culture of death that we're facing, and other groups are stepping up to the plate. I've got another little good news story about Catholic men who are learning how to use techniques from 1,000 years ago to build Catholic shrines, which I think is a lost art. So that's good news. Jess, welcome from Ohio, brother. Can you hear me, Jess? Nope. We're having some technical difficulty. Okay. Jess Romero hasn't realized he's on, but he is with us. I see him on our YouTube channel. Maybe the engineer can work on that. Let's go ahead and talk about some soul food. And I know Jesse has some soul food for the readings for today, and I would love to have him do that. So let me just give him a minute before we start to see if I can get him on for that. Also, I just want to remind everybody the different conferences that we have coming up soon. I would encourage you to look at our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, to look at all that. Also, I just want to say this, that since I can't get Jesse to be on the ears right now, we're having some technical difficulty, I'll go ahead and read the gospel reading. Jesse, I think, is going to read something different. But a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, 36. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and the gifts will be given to you. A good measure packed together, shaken down and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." So this is a beautiful reading for us all to take in consideration what our Lord is telling us when it comes to judging people. We're going to be judged by those same 10 commandments, right? So we have to also give people an opportunity to receive the mercy of God by asking them to repent. And without repentance, you can't get the mercy of God. I think I heard my brother Jess. Are you there, Jess?
Yes, I'm on. I just called in, Terry. I can't get on Lucy's
Okay, line, well, no problem, Jess. We saw you. Jess, I'm going to start with the reading. I gave the gospel already. It's about mercy and about justice. But you had something else you wanted to share with our listeners that I really want to hear it, Jess. So go ahead and share that.
Yeah, Terry, on Saturday, something jumped out at me from God's word, Saturday the 27th, and I just want to share it with you, because a lot of people seem to envy wicked people. They'll say, "Man, look at all these wicked people getting away with all this evil." And I even fall into it. Sometimes I have to confess the sin of envy, that I envy all the evil that wicked people are getting away with right now. I don't need to name names. We know who they are in the church, in politics. But Psalm 73 jumped out at me over the weekend on Saturday. It was one of the readings in the Magnificat. It says this, okay? It says, quote, "For I was filled with envy of the proud when I saw how the wicked prosper. I strove to fathom this problem, too hard for my mind to understand, until I pierced the mysteries of God and understood what becomes of the wicked man." Yet I was always in your presence, Lord. You were holding me by my right hand. You will guide me by your counsel, and you will lead me to glory. What else have I in heaven but you? Apart from you, I want nothing on earth. My body and my heart faint for you. God is my possession. Now he talks about what's going to happen to the wicked people. All those who abandon you, Lord, shall perish. You will destroy all those who are faithless. To be near God is my happiness. I have made the Lord my God. I will tell of all your works and the gates of the city of Zion. So here in Psalm 73, David, or one of the authors, he first of all says, man, I'm envious of all these wicked people getting away from stuff. Then David says, you know what? What am I saying? God, you're always with me. You're my counselor, my constant guide. And then David ends by saying, I know what's going to happen to the wicked. All these wicked are going to come before the judgment of God. And so I share that, Terry, because that's one of my sins. Sometimes I confess the fact that I'm envious of wicked people. But read Psalm 73, and God tells us how they're going to end their days. It's not going to be good. All of us have that exit interview with Jesus. Terry?
Terry, in the late 70s, a writing by St. Maximian Kolbe, because it came up with even a saint, just so you don't feel bad. St. Maximian Kolbe was asked the question about all these evil people that are doing terrible things, and how could God allow that to be done? And it's terrible. And St. Maximian Kolbe said, well, God is giving them an opportunity till the end. They can always repent. And so that's what the saint had said, that don't worry about that. You pray for the conversion and leave it in God's hands. Jess, I can see you now. I think the YouTube thing is on. I hope our listeners are seeing you right now with that break. It says, answer the call. You must be speaking at a men's conference. Is that what it is?
I'm over here at a parish. It's a Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. I'm in New Bremen, Ohio.
Good.
I'm here doing a parish mission for 4 nights.
Good.
Wonderful pastor full. The church was packed yesterday.
Awesome.
We're going to get a bunch of new listeners. Terry, but today's first reading from the book of Daniel is also very powerful.
Well, talk about it. We got time. Go ahead.
Yeah. Daniel chapter 9. Lord, great and awesome God, you who keep your merciful covenant towards those who love you and observe your commandments. We have sinned, been wicked, and done evil. We have rebelled and departed from your commandments and your laws. Sounds like America.
Yeah.
We have not obeyed your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Justice, O Lord, is on your side. We are shamefaced even to this day, we the men of Judah, the residents of Jerusalem and all Israel, near and far, in all the countries to which you have scattered them because of their treachery towards you. O Lord, we are shamefaced, like our kings, our princes, and our fathers, for having sinned against you. But yours, O Lord, our God, are compassion and forgiveness. Yet we rebelled against you and paid no heed to your commands. O Lord, our God, to live by the law you gave us through your servants, the prophets. So you got a penitential writing from Daniel the prophet.
Yes.
And again, he talks about, we can't forget, there's the justice of God. If you don't want God's mercy, you'll get God's justice. What is God's justice?
Yeah.
He will give you exactly what you deserve. What is God's mercy? God will give you exactly what you don't deserve. Look at what I just said.
I love it.
Justice is God giving us exactly what we deserve. That's hell.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
Absolutely.
Every pope, everybody. Hell. God's mercy is God giving us what we don't deserve. Salvation, heaven. Let's plead for God's mercy and go to confession this Lent.
Well said. And Jesse, I'm going to quote a Protestant minister who died for the faith. I mean, I love this guy's comment. He says, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And I thought, wow, I heard that in a sermon on Sunday, and I thought, I got to quote that one. That's a good one, especially because we're not only going to be talking on today's show the 10 powerful saint quotes to ignite your Lenten journey, but we're going to talk about a crazy thing about the culture saying that we're going to freeze these people that die and later resurrect them. What's that all about? We're going to talk about that and show how our culture is so screwed up, sorry for the French. It's mixed up about what the meaning and purpose of life is. Hey, I want to get a quote real quick in for Bishop Sheen about persecution, because we've got that coming. He says, one of the great mysterious facts that is not generally known to the world is that whenever there is persecution on the account of the faith, it always results in a vast catch of souls for the kingdom of God. Tertullian was right when he said, the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. And Jess, I'm going to make a prediction, brother. We're living at a time where there's going to be martyrs for the faith. If you stand up for the Ten Commandments, you stand up for marriage, because the culture is directing it now in a way that is going to say that you're dead wrong, and it's going to cost you your life. And that's what we're coming into. Hey, you're listening to Terry.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jess.
I'll make a comment on the next segment. That Protestant missionary, his name's Jim Elliot.
Yeah.
He died in 1956.
Yep.
He was speared to death in South America by indigenous Indians.
Amazing. We come back, we'll have more of that on the Terry and Jesse Show. I always say we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. I'll tell you what, if hope was money, Jess Romero, Terry Barber would be billionaires.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I want to mention tonight I'm going to be on Doug Barry and Father Heilman's show, his podcast, a very popular podcast, and it's going to be something similar to that I did with LifeSite News and John Henry Weston. So if you want to watch that, you're welcome to do that. Jess, you were just quoting a Protestant minister who was on fire for the faith. He died a martyr for trying to, you know, obviously he didn't have the fullness of the gospel, but I'm always impressed with these Protestants who have the zeal like that. And I know you are too. I hear something, a high-pitched noise. I'm not sure what that is.
I'm hearing some Airbnb, and it just went off right now. So,
I hear
trying to figure out.
All right, well, it's not an earthquake on here in California. I'll let you know if we start shaking, Jess. Hey, Brother Jess, well, that's right, you got it. Quick question, did you want to make a comment before we go to the 10 powerful quotes, Jess?
No, let's go to the 10 powerful, let's do it.
Okay, quotes to ignite your Lenten journey to holiness. Again, these are the saints. And Jesse, I look at them as our big brothers and sisters in the faith. So let's go to St. Catherine of Siena. We all need a boost during Lent. And here's the quote, and let's comment on it. St. Catherine of Siena says, nothing great is ever achieved without much enduring. So nothing comes quick, basically, in the spiritual life. Is that a fair statement, Jess?
Well, for us as Catholics, I mean, it goes back to no pain, no gain.
You got it.
You know, that's the motto of the athletes.
Yeah.
It goes back to what Venerable Sheen says, without Good Friday, you don't have Easter Sunday.
Yep.
And this is what Protestants don't understand traditionally, especially the TBN Protestants.
Of course.
Is that to get to heaven is going to require you to conform yourself to Christ. How do you conform yourself to Christ? St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, through suffering. None of us is going to get out of here without suffering. At the very least, you're going to suffer old age, where you're going to be in a bed, you're going to be bedridden, you can't move, you're going to have a hard time eating and drinking. None of us will leave planet Earth without suffering, so kudos to St. Catherine of Siena.
And Jesse, I go back to my monastery days, brother, and I keep thinking of St. Maximilian Kolbe. You just hit me. He said there's three stages of life. He said you have your formation, which is being educated in the faith. Then your apostolate, whether you're a husband, a priest, whatever God calls you to be. And then he says the third stage of life is suffering. And I don't mean to bring it up again, Jess, but, you know, my father suffered for about 10 or 12 years in bed, and he understood redemptive suffering.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I got stories that come out. But your father did the same thing, Jess.
Yeah.
Your mom.
Yeah.
See, this is the kind of example.
I saw them all suffer. Yeah. I saw them all suffer on their way out. Yeah.
Yeah, but not only did you see them suffer, Jess, you saw them accept it as coming from God and unite it with sufferings of Christ. Fair enough?
Yeah, Terry, there's a difference. Suffering can make you, here it is, bitter.
Bitter or better. Yep.
Yeah. Bitter.
Yep.
Or better.
That's right.
When you offer it up to God,
yeah,
your sufferings are going to purify you. It's going to make you better. You're going to become holier. Let's go to the second.
Hit it, Jess.
It's from St. Rose of Lima.
Yeah.
That's the parish where I received all my sacraments at St. Rose of Lima parish.
Pray for
San
us.
San Fernando. All my sacraments.
I didn't know that.
I still remember when the altar was in the middle, altar rails.
Yeah.
I remember the priest that baptized me had a cassock, long pectoral crosses, rosaries hanging.
You're an old guy.
Those pictures. Yeah. So, St. Rose of Lima, by the way,
yeah,
she's the first canonized saint in the American continent, North America, or the Americas, period. And she was also very beautiful. She raised four people from the dead with her prayers. And apparently she was so beautiful that she would put dirt on her face and try to make herself ugly because she didn't want to attract anybody. So here's what she says. Apart from the cross, there is no other ladder by which we may go to heaven. Apart from the cross, there's no other ladder by which we may go to heaven. Terry, there's a song when we were kids.
Yeah.
It was from Led Zeppelin.
I remember it.
I'm dating myself. It's called Stairway to Heaven.
Yep.
Okay. Now, that's not good theology.
Nope.
By the way. Okay. So that's, don't listen to that theology because that's not good theology. The only ladder to heaven is the cross.
Yep.
Is the cross of Christ. That's the ladder between heaven and earth. In order for you to get from planet Earth to heaven, you're going to have to walk through and on that cross. That means that you're going to have to embrace a life of suffering, penance, and prayer. Terry?
And Jesse, I don't mean to be critical right now, but we've lived through a period of time in our church where suffering was kind of poo-pooed, and it was like the resurrected Christ. And I'll just make a throw at it, but I never did like the people who took down the crucified Christ and put a resurrected Jesus up and said, no, don't worry about the suffering. Jesus is glorified. It seems to me that that's a Protestant approach on seeing Christ without Good Friday. That's just my take, Jess.
No, of course, yes. It's even liturgically improper, Terry.
Yep.
I mean, it's modernist liturgy.
Yep.
And that's for another topic. We need to go back to the traditional liturgy of the church. Cruciform churches, yeah. Crucifixes with a corpus on the middle, tabernacle in the middle. This is what draws people. This is why, by the way, people are going to your chapel.
Are there in adoration right
why
now?
This is why, by the way, a lot of the traditional parishes in that I go to, this is why there's so many parishioners there. I mean, the FSSP is exploding everywhere I go.
Sure.
And so, this is what people want. They don't want no new age religion. They want, give me Catholicism. People are screaming, give me the faith.
Well said, Jesse. I love that. St. Charles Borromeo, November 4th. He was a great saint. That's his feast day. He said this, "Behold, Jesus Christ crucified, who is the only foundation of our hope. He is our mediator and advocate, the victim and sacrifice for our sins. He is goodness and patience itself. His mercy is moved by the tears of a sinner." I love that comment. His mercy is moved by the tears of a sinner, and he never refuses pardon and grace to those who ask it with a truly contrite and humble heart. Jess, I got a lot to say about that because that's true mercy. That's not fake mercy. In other words, fake mercy is without asking for forgiveness.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Everything that St. Charles Borromeo says here, you can tell he was steeped in the Bible because every sentence I can tell you where he got it from in the Bible. Where he says that Jesus is our hope, that's in the book of Titus. He's our mediator and advocate, that's in the book of 1 Timothy. Victim and sacrifice for our sins, that's in the book of Hebrews. He's goodness and patience itself, that's in Psalm 139. His mercy, Psalm 126.
Yeah, his mercy forever.
Everything he says here, you can see that this great saint was steeped in Scripture. One other thing that we can say about St. Charles Borromeo, most people don't know, he's the one that wrote the Rite of Exorcism.
Yep.
So that book that's used by Catholic exorcists today,
This
is the book that was written by St. Charles Borromeo, and it was put together back in 1614. He's the one that inserted the prayers to drive out demons. So Again, he was a great mind, even when it came to spiritual warfare as well.
And maybe you don't realize this, but he was the one also during the plagues that was not hiding in a rectory. He was out anointing people and hearing confessions before people were dying. He wasn't wearing a mask, is all I'm saying. He was in there.
And also another thing, here's another thing that's important for all of you right now that want to be able to do something to protect yourself. Start praying Psalm 91 every day, whether you do it in the morning or in the evening. Oh. Psalm 91 is not only an exorcism psalm, it's also a psalm that people pray at a time of plagues, diseases, pestilence.
Good point.
It's a prayer that protects you from pestilence. So it's not only an exorcism prayer, it's also a prayer to protect you from diseases and pestilence. So start praying Psalm 91, whether you do it in the morning or in the evening.
Well, next one is St. Clare of Assisi, Jesse. Yeah. What a great saint. She says, if you suffer, go ahead and read it, Jess, your turn.
No, you got it. You go ahead, go.
If you suffer with him, you will reign with him. I love it.
She grabbed that for 2 Timothy.
Exactly.
These saints were steeped in scripture. They were steeped in scripture.
I love it. Biblical worldview, baby. If you cry with him, you will have joy with him. Wow. If you die with him on the cross of tribulation, you will possess the eternal dwelling place and the splendor of the saints. And your name written in the book of life will be glorious among men. Comment?
See, yeah, this is the last break was right from the book of Revelation.
That's right.
The first verse was from 2 Timothy chapter 2. These Catholic saints are steeped in biblical thought.
Yeah.
And again, this is why it's so important for us as Catholics to be reading our Bible every single day, because the New York Times, the LA Times, every single rag out there will become irrelevant tomorrow or next week. You'll be picking up dog poop with it. But the fact is, God's word is eternal. We can call God the Holy Bible. We could call it not the times. We could call it the eternities, because God's word will be relevant forever. Jesus Christ says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will be around forever. Point number five.
Say, I love
somebody
it.
On the screen, founder of the Opus Dei.
Yep.
He says, Opus Dei means the work of God. It's a religious order that he started. He writes, you don't know how to pray, put yourself in the presence of God. And as soon as you have said, Lord, I don't know how to pray, you can be sure you've already begun. So St. Jose Maria de Escriva is calling us to a life of humility. In other words, humility is required. Fulton Sheen says this, that humility is required to pray. Humility is required to believe in God. So that's St. Jose Maria de Escriva just reminding us that there is not one person out there that's going to enter into a life of serious prayer if they first don't tap into the virtue of humility and realizing that there is a God and you are not.
Well said. I want to remind you, the time you spend before Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, especially to pray before Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, will always be efficacious for you. And if you can get to the Blessed Sacrament, like right now we have our Lord exposed on the high altar at the Sacred Heart Chapel right now. Why? For people to pray. And this is so important. If your prayer life needs a jump start, try jumping it by making a visit before the Blessed Sacrament on a regular basis and ask Jesus Christ for more faith at the same time in his presence. Yeah. It works every time. Jess, when we come back from the break, we got more. Your favorite, one of your favorite saints and mine, I was at his canonization, St. Padre Pio. Pray for us. Wait to hear what he has to say about Lent. All and much more here on the Terry and Jesse Show. I want to make an announcement, too, that if you wanted to see some of the shows on YouTube, you have to go to Rumble to see what we call the lockout episodes on Rumble. And we also are playing more shows on Rumble that are hard-hitting shows, so you can check us out there. And one more thing, those who want to become monthly donors at $25 or more a month, you'll start receiving downloads of powerful programming from St. Joseph Communications material, Dr. Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Jess Romero, and many others, as a way of saying thank you. Go to the website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. or call us at 877-526-2151. We'll be right back with more of the Saint State.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess, I'm getting texts from people right now saying they love it. Those Saint statements are just powerful. Let's get the Padre Pio. He's got a good one, Jess.
Go ahead, Terry. Read it. You went to his funeral, so you deserve
it. I went to his, I didn't go to his funeral. I went to Bishop Sheen's funeral.
Canonization,
yeah. The canonization. Jesse says, I went to his funeral. I'd be 12 years old going, I'm joking. Okay. Jess gives me a lot of credit when it's not due. All right, brother. Here's what Padre Pio said. The life of a Christian is nothing but a perpetual struggle against self. Really? He says, well said. There is no flowering of the soul to the beauty of its perfection, except at the price of pain. Wow, there's a lot of theology there, Jess.
Terry, this goes against what they teach in modern America,
it's
right?
It's true.
Now. I mean, I remember a talk years ago from Father Philip Scott, a great preacher in Florida.
Yeah.
It was called the talk that he gave, it was called The Catholic Gospel versus the American Gospel. He gave it at one of the family
conferences. I remember in Florida. I remember that one.
And this is exactly what he's talking about, is that as Americans, we've lost our way. We think that following Jesus is going to feel good. We're supposed to be rich. We're supposed to be wealthy and healthy. And no, we're going to live pain-free. And Terry, you look at a lot of the followers of the TBN channel, they fill up stadiums with this false American gospel.
Yep.
This is not what the church has taught for 2,000 years. This is not what the Bible teaches.
Nope.
And so I like also what Father Philip Scott said. I remember my mind works good for things that I like. 20 years ago, he said, the saints remind us of things that we forget.
Well, you know, repeat that again. The saints remind us of things.
Remind us of things that we forget.
Oh, that's powerful.
And that's exactly what we're doing right now.
All right.
Okay, let's go to Saint Teresa of Calcutta.
Okay.
Number 7.
Yep. Hit it.
Lent is a time for greater love. Listen to Jesus' thirst. He knows your weakness. He wants only your love. Wants only the chance to love you. There's many saints like Fulton Sheen, Venerable Sheen, and others that have talked about that Christ's 7 last words on the cross when he said, I thirst. The deeper exegesis from all the doctors of the church is that he was thirsting for souls, mm-hmm. thirsting for our salvation, not necessarily thirsting for Gatorade or something, though he probably was.
Mm-hmm.
But the thirst that Christ expressed in the 7 last words was the thirst for the human soul and for our love.
If you ever go to one of Mother Teresa's houses, you'll see in the chapel, Jessa, you probably know, underneath the crucifix saying, I thirst. And this is what she's referring to, and that we are there to console Christ. So I think Mother nailed that one. How about St. Augustine of Hippo? He had a, whoo! Hey, Jesse, talk about fasting. You always tell everybody on this show, every day almost, Wednesdays, Fridays, go back to fasting.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
it's what St. Augustine says. Fasting cleanses the soul. It raises the mind. It subjects one's flesh to the spirit. Renders the heart contrite and humble and scatters the clouds of concupiscence, quenches the fire of lust, enkindles the true light of chastity. Enter again into yourself. Jess, here's a man who had been living an unchaste life who gave himself to Christ, he would know about these things.
Yeah, and what jumps out at me
from what
Bishop Augustine says here, the great father of the church. In fact, it's the church says that he was probably the most erudite, intelligent father of the church for the first 1,000 years.
Yeah,
the church says in the second 1,000 years, the most erudite man was St. Thomas Aquinas.
Course.
But I like what he says here. And again, this is something for men. Just kind of a Lenten. This is why you should be practicing this at Lent. I would say Wednesdays and Fridays for men. Look what Augustine says here. What does it do? He says, it quenches the fire of lust. Okay?
Yep.
Quenches the, and you know, women have that lust problem too. Yeah. Sure. They wouldn't be posing in pornographic magazines if they didn't have a lust problem either. And St. Augustine also says here, and what does fasting do? Subjects one's flesh to the spirit. See, the spirit and the flesh are always at war with each other, St. Paul says in Romans 7. And fasting is a way to build spiritual muscle so that your spirit dominates your flesh.
And Jesse, you've said this many times over the years, and I've said it's the same thing, that if you can't control your appetites of your flesh, then you're not praying and you're not asking for the graces, because God gives us those graces to overcome it, but we have to ask for those. And again, one of the things we relate to is in sports. You're a boxer, I'm a ball player. If you don't practice your given sport, you're not going to be very good at it. Well, if you don't practice penance and controlling your appetites, then when you have a situation come up, you're not going to be ready for that. Just like a boxer is not going to be ready to go 12 rounds because he stopped doing his exercises. He started sitting in front of a TV, you know, eating popcorn and drinking whatever he's drinking. He's going to get beat up in that next match. So the same thing, if we're not practicing these spiritual truths on the faith, then you wonder why you fall.
Yeah. If you want to just to understand fasting, fasting trains you, it trains the intellect to master and control the passions. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Fasting trains the intellect, strengthens the will to master your passions. In other words, your higher faculties are strengthened by fasting to master your lower faculties.
You got it. Now the little flower is going to step in. And you know, Jesse, most people look at the little flower and they go, oh, she's so cute. What a simple soul. Well, I'll tell you what, man, here's what she says. My whole strength lies in prayer and sacrifice. These are my invincible arms. Oh, talk about spiritual warfare. They can move hearts far better than words. Jess, you mentioned last week about how she actually prayed for a man who was condemned to death for a heinous crime, and he was near getting the guillotine, and she had been praying because she saw his name in the paper and that date he was going to be executed. And by golly, her prayers were accepted because moments before this guy was going to get the guillotine, he asked to go to confession. And there's an example of what saints can do. I would like to ask this. This is just my take. Are we willing to sacrifice for the world right now that's living like God doesn't exist? And I'd say, yes, make every action a sacrifice, because these sacrifices are valuable in converting poor sinners. Remember what Our Lady said at Fatima. Souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices.
That's right. Now, here's the last one. St. John Paul II said the following.
Oh, what a great.
Let us set out with trust on our Lenten journey, sustained by fervent prayer, penance, and concern for those in need. In particular, may this Lent be a time of ever greater concern for the needs of children in our own families and in society as a whole, for they are the future of humanity. Yeah, Pope John Paul II, Terry, had a genuine love for children, not a fake love. There's a lot of people that have fake love for children.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a lot of politicians. I won't mention their name, but there's a lot of politicians that say, the children, we got to do this. I mean, in fact, most leftist politicians, here's their throwaway line. We got to pass that law for the children. Oh, we got to, dump more money into this project for the children. That's a famous line by leftists.
Yeah.
But you know, Terry, they also passed legislation to
kill children
in abortion clinics.
Got it.
And so it's all lip service.
Oh, it's fake.
Pope John Paul II authentically loved children, and he fought for their rights.
And not only that, Jesse, he fought for the family. This is something that we need to go back. In 1993, he wrote a letter to the family, and I have it. And he said that the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. So we need to really stress good holy marriages and put our energy towards building up the family. And I just want to throw a little plug for Retrovite, Jesse. I did a lot of counseling over the weekend with couples, and I've been referring them to Retrovite as a way to help them in their marriage. Because, Jess, I'm not going to, it's not easy. It takes effort for two people to live together, and it takes a lot of sacrifices, and it takes a lot of strong wills to be able to work with their partner, their wife or their husband, to make the marriage work. It doesn't just happen automatically. And so I want to encourage people who right now who say, man, my marriage is on the rocks. Go online to Retrovite. They help so many couples get their marriages back in order.
Terry, that's why marriage is called a vocation, which means a divine calling.
Yeah.
It's not called a vacation. It's not a vacation. It's called a vocation.
Yeah.
Because that means that's something that you have to work at consistently. Like we said, use it or lose it.
Jesse, before we go on, I want to hear your good news story.
Yeah, Terry, the good news story is that there's a new organization that started.
Mm-hmm.
It's called EBLM.
Okay.
Which it stands for Every Black Lives Matter.
Beautiful.
EBLM.
Everyone.
Every Black
good.
Lives Matter. And Terry, this organization has been started by Black conservatives,
good.
Black patriots,
good.
And Black people of faith.
Awesome.
And it's essentially to run in opposition of BLM.
Good.
Because BLM is, again, anti-law enforcement. EBLM, Every Black Lives Matter, they're pro-law enforcement, pro-free market economy, pro-life, pro-nuclear family with dad as the head of the family. And so when you watch some of their videos, you can go to everyblm.com, everyblm.com. You'll find out this is an amazing organization. They're committed to actually opposing actual racism, not the nonsense BLM, what they claim is racism. And they come at it from a conservative Protestant Christian standpoint. So I wish them well, Terry.
Awesome. We come back, we're going to make another good news story from Gallup, New Mexico. What Bishop Wall is doing is fantastic. When you come back, you'll hear what it's all about. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse's in Ohio doing a parish mission. I have some good news here. Jesse gave us some good news. I got to throw it out. This is an internship. Catholic men will learn ancient construction techniques to build Catholic shrines. It's beginning in May to August 21, and Bishop James Wall of Gallup, New Mexico, here's what he's doing, Jess. He goes, look, you young man, 18 years or older, you have an opportunity to live and work in the Sacred Heart Retreat Center, which I've been there in Gallup, on a paid, fully paid traditional building internship program where they will learn ancient construction techniques, including installing natural lime, mortar, stucco, and basically revive traditional Catholic art, Jess. It's been lost. So I commend the bishop for doing this, man. I think it's great.
Bishop, well, he's a great bishop. He was a priest from the Phoenix Diocese.
Yep.
He's good friends with the Phoenix Diocese. He's good friends with Bishop Olmsted. And I also know one thing about him. It's very interesting. He does the Novus Ordo Mass ad Orientem.
That's
in
right.
The cathedral.
He does. Hey, Jess, before we go on to our next topic, I just want to give a nice experience that maybe a young man's listening right now. This is a young man who's been a priest for 4 years. He said he worked in corporate America for 10 years, earning 3 degrees. He said, I realized that everything in the world said would make me happy wasn't fulfilling my deepest desires. If anything, these accomplishments left me empty and more anxious. If that's you, maybe God's calling you to be a priest. He said, I never thought about being a priest, but I remember reading an article that mentioned 3 hurdles of discerning a religious vocation. These are 3 good hurdles, Jess. Noise, fear, and family. That's when I decided to spend more time in Eucharistic adoration, getting away from the world's noise to hear God's will for me. I experienced profound peace through prayer and reading scripture. I love it, Jess. What a great 2-1-2 punch. Prayer and scripture. It became clear that he was being called to be a priest. However, I still struggled with fear and feelings of inadequacy. And my family, though Catholic, didn't understand why I'd want to leave my worldly achievements behind. And this is the best part, Jess. With God's grace, he said, I was able to persevere and follow the Lord into the seminary. And now after 4 years as a priest, I've begun to experience what Jesus meant when he said, I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If that's you out there right now, I'm going to ask you, don't call the local seminary. Call me and I'll send you to a good seminary. I mean it. I'll give you my cell number. It's 661-972-7872. I lead a lot of young men to the right seminary, because if you go to the wrong place, you can lose a vocation. Jess, isn't that an inspiring story?
Right. Absolutely.
I love that with men like that.
And again, that's what the young man's talking about is disconnecting from the world.
There you go.
And that's a good thing. If the media, if the mainstream media and all the news that's coming out of Washington, politics, corruption, of all that stuff, you know, sexual scandals within the church, if all that stuff is stressing you out, you need to disconnect and you need to reconnect with God. Disconnect from the world and reconnect with God through a life of prayer and reading the Bible, because that's where you find your peace. Because guess what? Our Lord Jesus Christ told us, in John chapter 14, he says, in this world, you're always going to have trouble.
Yeah.
Always. He says, but I have overcome the world.
I love it.
In other words, we got to look at him and unite ourselves to him, because he goes, look, you're always going to have problems in the world. Always. But you do not be discouraged. I have overcome the world. So if we unite ourselves to him in prayer, if we unite ourselves to him in sacrament, that's how we get what St. Paul calls the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Jesse, final thought for the day. This is crazy, but this has been going on for 5,000 years. People that are going to die from cancer or from whatever, they're trying to preserve their bodies. It's called cryopreservation, means a body or even just a head is frozen in liquid nitrogen, which can preserve the body for thousands of years. Their idea is that somehow, I know I'm laughing too, but Jess, this is going on today. People think, hey, I'm preparing this capsule. James Bedford died of cancer. Hey, they're going to come up with a solution. You know, the guy for Disneyland, he did the same thing in 1964. Jess, what's going on here? What are they denying?
Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson did the same thing, Terry.
Yeah. So this process
has been going around a while.
They really believe that at future time, 1,000 years from now, that somebody's going to have something to wake them up. What are they denying, Jess? What's the culture denying?
They're denying, number one, our mortality.
You got it.
They're denying, number two, the promises of Jesus Christ, that only through Jesus Christ can we have eternal life.
Amen.
This cryopreservation. Again, it's this crazy quack science. They believe that if they put you in this tube, it's going to preserve your cells, your tissues, your organs, any biological constructs. They put the cooling temperature very low, minus 196 degrees, and so they believe that this process could in sometime in the future. That maybe, 1,000 years from now, that science is going to be so far advanced that people are going to be able to wake up in these cryopreserved bodies in these freezing tombs. Terry, what these people are looking for is God.
Yes.
They're looking for eternal life, which is found only through the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking to the promises of the resurrected body that St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what happens when a person does not believe in God. They will believe in anything,
exactly.
Even these nutty cryopreservation tubes.
You know, Jesse, a scripture verse comes to my mind while you were talking. I don't mean to be laughing, but it seems so it's ridiculous what they're trying to do. But you're right. They're looking for God. But I love this Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And see, Right now, the culture is against anything that has God in it. They're trying to act like God doesn't exist and come up with mechanical ways to overcome all these obstacles. Whether, you know, whatever it is, they're going to say, well, you know, science is going to be able to prove that we can do X, Y, and Z. And you know what, Jess? I just want to say something that we've said for years. Nobody gets out alive, last time I looked. And death, judgment, I mean, that's what you're going to be talking about to this, to the mission that you're doing. What else is there to not know about in, when it comes to knowing the meaning and purpose of life? That's what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
This crypto preservation, yeah. There's also another method process, where they try to store bodies in cylinders,
yeah.
And they inject them with liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
This is all a false gospel.
Yeah.
This is all, Terry, a diabolical counterfeit. This is the devil's gospel, making people believe that science can give you eternal life. Terry, this is, again, once again, just a denial of Jesus Christ's message in the gospel. The only thing that's going to give you eternal life is this little sacred host,
yeah,
that looks like a piece of bread found in Catholic churches, yeah, in golden tabernacles. It's called the Holy Eucharist. That's going to give you the medicine of immortality. That's going to one day give the body of every believer everything that we've been, you know, we've been hoping for.
Yeah.
As St. Paul calls the resurrected body, it's going to have beauty, which is called clarity. It's going to have agility. You're going to be able to move by the speed of thought. The body's going to have fineness, which means you're going to be able to walk through walls, penetrate matter, and the body's going to have impassibility, which means the body will never age or suffer again. The only way you can get these four characteristics in the glorified body is by dying in a state of grace and having received Jesus Christ in the Eucharist for a lifetime.
And Jesse, one more thing that this false gospel proclaims is there's no accountability for your actions in life, meaning that science is going to let you live forever without any pain. You know, you're going to just continue to go on, which is totally wrong. So basically, you can live an evil life, and they're going to just revive you, and your salvation is going to be in science. Can I tell you, Jess, that's a lie.
So you could be revived in 1,000 years and continue living an evil life. By the way, Terry, even both these scientific methods that, yeah, are talked about in this article,
yeah,
it says we may be able to revive you in 1,000 years,
yeah,
if we find a way to do so. So they're not even saying,
no,
we will. They're saying it's possible.
We're counting on it.
That
a,
we'll,
on
find, a, yeah, we'll find a way 1,000 years from now to revive people that are put in ice 196 degrees, you know, below zero.
Well, Jesse, I'm going to give them a guarantee right now that if, yes, they live in the state of grace, they will have eternal life. I can guarantee it.
Yes.
And how do we do that, Jess, with the five stones of King David?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Living in a state of grace, that's an act of the soul.
Yeah.
And the soul has to be in friendship with God. It has,
yeah,
to be, when you die, your soul has to be free from mortal sin. If the soul's not free from mortal sin, the soul will be separated from God for all eternity, just like Lucifer. Now, venial sin, a soul can be saved with venial sin, but the soul must be purified and perfected before it enters into heaven, because nothing unclean can enter into heaven. But again, mortal sin destroys the life of God in your soul. Venial sin wounds or injures the life of God in your soul. The fact of the matter is, we were made for heaven. Pick up your rosary,
amen,
every day. Read your Bible every day. Make sure that you are living in a state of grace by going to frequent confession. Generally, the great giants of the church say about once a month for a lay person.
Yeah.
Now, if you're possessed, Father Amorth and Father Ripperger said you got to go once a week if you're possessed, for people that are demonically possessed. Also, as a Catholic, remember Fridays and Wednesdays are days of penance. In the old Catholic calendars, Wednesdays and Fridays, and the new one, it's Fridays. Again, let's go old school. Let's start doing penance and fasting and abstaining from meat on Wednesdays and Fridays. And finally, let's remember that as Catholics, that we want to die in a state of grace, not in the state of mortal sin.
Well said. And I want to remind everybody, the lockout episodes from our YouTube. We're back on YouTube today. You can see the old shows that didn't, never made it on Rumble. That's our other station that we have. And we're planning to do out, roll out some more programmings on Rumble that I think will be hard-hitting. And I want to thank all the listeners that just came back from YouTube. Keep us in your prayers. We want the gospel to be spread far and wide. Why? Because life is short and eternity is forever. And as Jess Romero says every day on the Terry and Jesse Show, that, you know, we need to be living in the state of grace and not in Arizona or California. But our state, our soul needs to be in that state. How do we do that? Get to confession. Read your Bible. Get to Mass as often as possible. And again, make those visits to the Blessed Sacrament. It's the bread of life, eternal life. Jesus promised, he who eats my bread and drinks my blood will live forever. God love you. And up next, Dr. Ed Monson.